Welcome back. Tide Smart Talk with Steve-O. News Talk WLOB. Please join me in welcoming our very special guest today. We have Joanne Crapo. She is the CEO of Girl Scouts of Maine. Welcome to Tide Smart Talk, Joanne.
So much, Steve. Appreciate the opportunity.
Have you ever been introduced with Girl Scout theme music?
No, I have not. I must say I'm quite impressed.
Well, we are big supporters of scouting. By coincidence, last week we had Eric Tarbox, who's the scout executive for Boy Scouts in Maine. And I'm equally impressed and supportive of Girl Scouts in Maine. So it's like, well, let's reach out and get the CEO of Girl Scouts. Before we start talking about the work being done in Maine and scouting in general, I always like to start with talking with folks about kind of their background, how they ended up here in Maine, and how they were drawn to this vocation. So why don't we start with that? Are you a native Mainer? How did you end up here in Maine? And then what brought you to scouting to begin with?
Well, thank you. Yes, I'm actually a native of Brunswick, Maine. Despite the fact that I did go out of state for my master's degree, I've been here my entire life. And how I ended up at Girl Scouts, I've had a lot of nonprofit management in my background. And Girl Scouts, I used to work for United Way of Greater Portland, so I knew Girl Scouts very well. And back in 2003, they were looking for a CFO. And that's my professional background. And I got the job in 2003. And our CEO retired in 2013. I took over as interim and got the job a year or so ago permanently. So I've had, 12 or more years with the Girl Scouts of Maine. And, of course, I was a Girl Scout as well. So it's near and dear to my heart. And to this day, just remains something that I'm very passionate about.
Great. I had, as I was talking to Eric Tarbox about Boy Scouts, we shared some of our common experiences in scouting. And I went through Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts, and for me, it was just a very valuable and important part of my life. When you look back on your scouting, were there any events or any areas of being a Girl Scout that you remember as being particularly impactful?
You know, that's so interesting because I think we often think of it's the big things that make an impression inside of ourselves intrinsically. And for me, it's those little accomplishments. I was a very shy, introverted child. And so to be in a group of girls in a safe place with really wonderful leaders that kind of pushed us into doing things that might have been outside our comfort zone. An example is I remember being in a skit with these other girls from my troop that was simply performing to the rest of my troop. And I actually ad-libbed a line, and I got a big laugh. And that had never happened to me in my life.
Wow.
And that little accomplishment said something to me about support and belonging, in that I actually could extend beyond my comfort zone. And so it's those little things that at the time you don't think of as a child, but you reflect on later on as an adult, that those were the little growth moments that pushed you into, progressing towards a little more confidence in yourself. So that's what I remember. It's those smaller things. I mean, I did camping. I did cookie sales. We did a lot of activities. We visited a lot of things. We, sang at nursing homes and that kind of thing. We're in parades. But it's those little accomplishments that, for me, made a difference in my life. And that's what we, as Girl Scouts, and particularly at the troop level, like to be able to provide to girls, is a safe place for them to try new things.
I think that's so important, not just in scouting, but in child development.
Absolutely.
I think that when you talk to, almost any adult, when they reflect back on really key kind of touchstone moments of their childhood, you're right. It may not be the epic visit to the Grand Canyon or scoring the winning goal, but it could be a conversation. It could be an experience. It could be. And for me, I think scouting gives you a very fertile backdrop whether it's involved being in nature, whether it's the camaraderie of being with other young people, whether it's boys and Boy Scouts or girls and Girl Scouts. And having that safe environment allows people to kind of work together and be together in a really positive way, right?
I totally agree. And, you know, kids today in particular, I think there are so many competitive elements that they're in, whether it's school, whether it's perhaps a sports team or, you know, getting into a college. And so for a child to have an area where really there's no competition, and again, I'm not saying that competition is important. Of course, that's part of our world. But to have that safe place where if to try it is what's important, and whether you succeed or you fail at that particular activity, you're encouraged to try again, and you're supported. You know, go girl, try it again. You can do it again. That's the kind of atmosphere that I think all kids need in the end.
Fantastic. We have Joanne Crapo here. She is the CEO of Girl Scouts of Maine. Why don't you tell me a little bit about the scope and size of Girl Scouts in Maine relative to number of participants, how many troops, and maybe any of the history. So as we talk further, we have context on what are the Girl Scouts of Maine in terms of what you're all doing and how many young adults or young girls and adults are involved.
Sure. At the end of our fiscal year, last year, we had almost 14,000 members just in the state of Maine. Approximately 10,000 are girls and 4,000 are adult members. So most people are quite shocked to hear that that's, you know, quite a large network of people that we have that we work with every day. Overall, we are in every county in the state of Maine. We have two offices, one in South Portland and one in Bangor. We have four camps, two are resident camps. And, you know, we are part of a much larger, broad movement that really is encompassing almost 2 million girls and 800,000 adult members. And we also have 59 million living alumni. So there's a lot of people that have participated in Girl Scouts.
Wow. When you look at Girl Scouts of America or Girl Scouts of Maine, and they're completely separate organizations from Boy Scouts, what are some of the areas where you think there's difference in terms of either structure or kind of mission? Because both are camaraderie-based, both are about, you know, skills and being supportive and the outdoors playing a huge role. But are there any elements of Girl Scouts of America that are unique based on the interest or needs or development needs of young girls that may differ from boys?
Well, I think girls have some unique challenges. About a month or so ago, I saw this movie, perhaps you saw it, called Suffragette. And it really brought you back to, ironically, 1912. And in 1912, you know, women's roles were drastically different. And their opportunities were drastically different.
No
than
voting.
Today.
You know, social roles were different.
Huge.
You know, different in terms of workforce, different in terms of
Even who basically has the rights to their children.
Right.
In England, in particular, I can't say this movie was set in England, but in England, women did not have rights to their own children. And so, you know, you contrast, that was the setting that our founder, Juliet Gordon Lowe, found herself in 1912. That's when she started. So when this movie starts, 1912, that's when we started as well. And so you think about what she saw were the necessary things that needed to change for women. And that was, you know, opportunities outside what was the prescribed role of household. Women were not really encouraged to get educated. And she herself was a very brilliant woman, saw that there were so many more things that girls and women could bring to the world. And so that's the foundation of Girl Scouts, really. And, you know, our mission is to build girls of courage, confidence, and character who make the world a better place. And making the world a better place, there's a community action component to our work, where we want girls to also not just discover things about themselves, but discover things about the world and then do something about it if they see that there's a problem or something that they can, a project that they can put together that helps some problem in the community.
Interesting. We have Joanne Carapo here. She's CEO of Girl Scouts of Maine. You're listening to Tide Smart Talk with Steve-O, News Talk WLOB, 1310 a.m. Talk a little bit about, first of all, the history was fascinating. I hadn't made the correlation to 1912 and the suffrage movement, which was huge. But that had to be such a contrast to the era where in most day-to-day, everyday life, girls and women were not given, you know, the idea of equality, what didn't even exist. It was in almost every socioeconomic, political element of day-to-day life, girls and women were not given equal opportunity, or they weren't, I think, valued in the same way in society. So having something like that had to be, just huge in terms of that era. You know, now we take it for granted. Now I think there's always work to go in every area, but I think it's accepted as it should be that men and women, girls and boys deserve equal opportunity, have equal abilities, and we need to nourish both. But you telling the story about 1912, fascinating.
Yes, and I think I admire even more what Juliet Gordon Low did, given the challenges of the day. Those were enormous challenges. And so she started by taking girls outdoors, teaching them about camping, about outdoor cooking, about archery. Those were not things that girls were expected to do. And so, you know, we've built on that basis of how do we build girls so that they can be ultimately healthy women who make good choices in their lives. And that's what the character building aspect of Girl Scouts is really all about.
Fantastic. Talk a little bit about, there's been some, an article came out about a week ago, which I happened to see, talking about Girl Scouts hope to tech initiatives will curb membership drop. I think not just specific to Girl Scouts or Boy Scouts, but many outdoor active activities may have dropped off over the last decade, replaced by technology-based, whether it's gaming or computer science, but it doesn't feel as though young people may be as engaged as they were in the past. And I'm looking at some numbers in this story that shows that membership is down nationally by about 6% year to year. Fundraising is down. What do you think, both globally relative to Girl Scouts of America, and we'll talk about Maine, is the challenge to engage young people in Girl Scouts? Whereas, is it reaching enough people and explaining, the value of it? Is it not considered cool with young people as much as maybe some other activities, or? Mm-hmm. What are the challenges, and what do you think the path forward is to still engage in a meaningful way with young people for Girl Scouts?
Right. I think part of it is that we haven't done a good enough job of the value of Girl Scouts. Again, in the public's mind, camp and cookies is what comes to the forefront, but there are so many other activities that we provide our girls with. That are science-based, as an example, that, digital cookie, which is a new aspect of selling cookies online, where girls get to build their own website. So there's a lot of modern pieces that are part of our program that extend beyond, the traditional. Now, we love the traditional, and we still keep hold of that. But another point, and I think this is an important thing, is that obviously I think the 2008 economic crisis had an impact on families in a large way. A lot of people lost their jobs. A lot of people replaced it with multiple jobs in order to get the same wage. And so family time together, I think, has been squeezed. And this is actually an opportunity for an organization like ours where we can provide something to girls and to families that they themselves as parents maybe don't have the time. And the other thing, and I think this is an important piece to the challenge and why we need more volunteers. In Maine, last year, we had over 1,000 girls that wanted to be in Girl Scouts, particularly in troops, because that is all the girls can be a Girl Scout without being in a troop.
But typically, you need to be organized in a group for group activities.
Exactly.
That type of thing.
Yes. And that is where most of our families want their girls to be in. We had over 1,000 girls that we could not serve because we did not have enough volunteer leaders. And so that's our biggest challenge. And this is true not just for Maine. There's over 30,000 girls throughout the entire country, again, who could not be served because we did not have enough adult leaders. What we are doing is trying to make our volunteer experience better, make it an easier process for our volunteers. We have developed many new online resources for them so that basically we are allowing them to spend less time on the paperwork because we have been very paper heavy. We're ditching a lot of that. We're making things online. We're slimming down some of the requirements and so that they can spend more time with girls.
Great. Talk a little bit about, you've mentioned and referenced cookies, and that is synonymous, not just as the fundraising, I think your chief fundraising mechanism, but it's really become a kind of a cultural, iconic thing. You know, Girl Scouts and cookies, and just before we came on the air, I was hoping secretly that there were some Thin Mints hidden in your bag, but no. Because I have a bit of an addiction issue with Thin Mints. But what are the time, you mentioned that it was only a few months of the year, which creates demand and it becomes the special thing. If they were available around the year, then you would lose kind of that special element. But talk a little bit about the whole cookie fundraising thing, because to me it's fascinating, not just how Girl Scouts are involved and they're responsible for getting the orders and then delivering the orders, but as a business platform, I think it's hugely successful. But it's fascinating how it operates. And why don't you talk a little bit about the history of cookies and the cookie program here in Maine?
Sure. Cookies really started decades ago. I think I want to say in the 1920s or 30s. Again, in a way for girls to be able to raise money so that we'd have some troop activities. So it started very small.
But nobody else thought of cookies. Everyone else did like seeds. Other people did light bulbs. But you guys got the cookies.
Because we made them ourselves back in the day.
Oh, I hadn't even thought about
that.
You just think of them about it being always packaged. But cookies came up because troops made cookies, sold them in the community.
That's right.
And then they became more production and be bigger, but it originated with young girls making cookies.
That's it.
Can you build a cookie, Sully? Do you have any experience building cookies?
I'm sure if you ask the right baker that they probably build their
That's cookies. What I was going for.
Yeah.
Were you, by the way, I want to bring Sully into the conversation. Were you a Girl Scout at all?
I was not a Girl Scout, but my little sister was.
So, you were probably supportive, and you've been to some of her things. And
bought the cookies.
You were probably lemon. Were you a lemon cookie person?
Oh, I'm not. I'm a Thin Mint all the way.
A Thin Mint gal?
Oh, very good.
Yeah, those are fantastic. So it started with them baking. And then talk a little bit about how it's organized on the business side and how you come up with inventories and how you come up with allocations, and they're obviously made in some factory somewhere. So,
right. Yeah.
But talk about that. It's kind of fascinating.
There are two bakers, licensed bakers, that we get our cookies from. And those two bakers have, very prescribed recipes that are, traditional. They have to have certain cookies, like Thin Mints. They both have to sell Thin Mints.
Of course.
They have, choices on beyond the five ones that they need to sell, they have choices of their own on some other ones. So, for instance, we have ABC Bakers, and they sell a cookie called Lemonades, which, by the way, is a delicious cookie.
Love the Lemonades. That's what I was getting at.
Yeah. But only ABC Bakers. So if we are a council that has contract with ABC, and so we get to sell Lemonades. But if you contract with Little Brownie, the other baker, you don't get Lemonades. You get a different kind of lemon cookie. I think it's a lemon cream. So there are some variations. But I will tell you that it is one of the most amazing pieces of the Girl Scout world is the cookie business. We essentially have a staff of 3 people, that's it, for the entire state of Maine, as an example. And they have to essentially build a workforce from scratch. And we're talking about girls that sell between 5 and 17 years old. For the most part, the younger ages are what, you know, really attract, they're most attracted to selling cookies. And that workforce, if you will, to put it in business terms, is only operational from January, February, March, and that's it. And the cookies are essentially ordered through initial orders, which is in the month of January. So that's when little girls, you might see them knocking on your door or in some way have a cookie order form. Mm-hmm. And then we have also booth sales. And that's when you see troops outside, we'll say Walmart as an example, selling cookies on a display table kind of thing. And it's all shut down by April. And within that period, for the Girl Scouts of Maine, we have gross sales of about $4 million. And nationally, it's gross sales of $800 million.
Wow.
And so, you know, it's sort of like a mushroom. It springs up, it lives, and then it gets, you know, goes away very quickly. But believe me, there is a lot of business that goes on behind the scenes. Those 3 people that I have on staff really do a remarkable job. Inventory control, ordering control, delivery issues.
The finance, the checks, collecting sometimes cash, figuring it all out. Yeah,
absolutely. So it is a business that springs up, lasts for a very short period of time, and then goes away until the next year.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I mean, I'm obviously very fond of cookies, probably too fond. But eggnog, have you ever noticed that it's a seasonal thing and it's a heavy product, but every year it just shows up in November.
And you got to have it.
And you've got to have, I've got to have my Hood eggnog, and every once in a while I mix it up with vanilla Hood eggnog.
Watch out.
Yeah, it's serious. And then all of a sudden, you know, in January I'll ask Katie, oh yeah, can I have a glass of eggnog? She goes, oh, it's out of the stores. And it's like it builds up demand. We have Joanne Crapeau here. She is the CEO of Girl Scouts of Maine. So the Girl Scout cookie thing, I never really thought of it this way, but there are fundamental, I don't want to say business, but really some business things. You have to organize your time. You have to be disciplined. You have to fill out the forms correctly. If you're collecting money, you have to make change. But there are some really nice, kind of simple but important building blocks of business that is associated with the cookies, other than just, you know, distributing the cookies, right?
Absolutely. In fact, we really think of it as a girl-led entrepreneurial program, because if you're a Girl Scout selling cookies, essentially learning how to set goals,
right,
you've got to manage money,
create guilt with parents and parent relatives.
Okay, there may be an aspect of that.
There is an element of psychology where it's like, hey, Mr. Woods, would you like to buy my cookies, my next door neighbor? And I'm like, of course, good psychology.
Exactly. I mean, those are people skills, right?
I know. Very important.
You know, decision making, they have to make you know, some decisions about where they're going to go to sell cookies and various other things, and, you know, business ethics. So we really feel that it is offering, again, girls a foot into the business world and the world that we all live in. And those are all good skills that I think anybody can have, regardless of what your vocation ends up being.
I think in the last year, Girl Scouts announced something that's called Digital Cookie, which allows selling cookies through an app. Is that something that will be active or is active in Maine, or is it regional? Or how can, because if you can order by an app, there's one benefit that it broadens your reach, but you're also missing some of the direct contact with the girls, right?
This is true. And so we really see this as an add-on because, again, not everyone sees a Girl Scout to be able to buy Girl Scout cookies from. And that is one of our biggest complaints. I didn't see a girl this year. I wanted to buy cookies. And so this is another way of reaching out. And again, it's an add-on. It's not to replace that girl to customer-facing aspect of selling Girl Scouts. But it's also an element where we're preparing girls about e-commerce today. They learn to do website production and how, you know, do you go about, you know, marketing what you're trying to do. So again, it's just another learning opportunity. It certainly is a help to the Girl Scout cookie program, but it doesn't replace our face-to-face contact.
Is it active now as an app, or does it only start in January during the cookie season?
Right. It only works during the cookie season. And we do have a digital cookie with our council. And but it is expanding. Again, it's been a slow rollout. Last year was really the first year. And so we're hoping that we're going to be able to extend that opportunity to people more and more as this year goes on.
If you need somebody to test either the ordering mechanism or the consumption element, I'm your person.
I am going to remember that.
Please
Steve.
Put that. By the way, girlscoutsofmaine.org is the website for Girl Scouts here in Maine. Just one string, girlscoutsofmaine.org. So if people go to the website, let's say some people are in a town because when I grew up, I'm still, you know, Katie would say I'm still growing up. So early in my growing up phase, I was in a suburb outside of Boston. I was part of Troop 8. So generally, it requires a troop leader and troop adults. So here in Maine, I think that's the same format. But if somebody lives in a community that doesn't have a troop, can they go to girlscoutsofmaine.org or call up your office and say, hey, there's a group of girls or my daughter or granddaughter would really love to do this. But unless somebody organizes it, it doesn't really happen. So what's the best mechanism for people who are interested in getting involved that aren't directly accessible to a troop to get involved?
I would advise to please give us a call. We have an 800 number, and we'd be delighted to hear from you, whether you are a parent looking for your girl to join a troop, or especially if you are a volunteer or an adult that would like to volunteer. And many of our parents are also adult volunteers. Every troop does need two adults, a leader and a co-leader. And by the way, we do have men who are Girl Scouts. So, you know, you're not excluded.
Fantastic.
So Girl Scout leaders, you know, we really would love to hear from you. Again, it's a very important need in our society, I think, to have caring adults involved with girls. There's so many challenges to girls, well, to children in general today, when you think about all the things that are coming at them from, you know, bullying to the internet and various other things. To have that kind of opportunity to work with a caring adult who can really make a difference in a girl's life is really a tremendous benefit, not just to the girl, but to the adult as well.
You know, you mentioned earlier in the interview the word safe a number of times, and I think it's appropriate because during that early phase of child development, you know, people may not be intentionally assaulting young boys and girls relative to comments or online stuff or bullying, but you know, I have three children, and I've gone through the whole cycle of, you know, our oldest is 25, but our youngest are 15 and 16, and it's not easy. And being in an environment where, you know, you don't have to be doing the most spectacular thing or scaling, as I said before, the Grand Canyon or climbing Mount Washington, but being in a group of people that are accepting and that there's this positive environment where people are like, hey, do your best. Great to see you. That can just mean everything.
Absolutely. And, you know, a troop experience, too, can bring, girls or boys, if you're a Boy Scout, but children together who would not normally necessarily be friends in school, shall we say.
Right.
They may come from different socioeconomic backgrounds. They may live in different parts of town. And so, again, this is another wonderful opportunity to get to know someone that you would not necessarily know and be friends with.
Final question. We have Joanne Crumpo here. She is the CEO of Girl Scouts of Maine. What is the interface or opportunity from your perspective relative to Boy Scouts of Maine? Separate organizations, separate camps, and I think it's appropriate, but are there ways of collaborating, and are there kind of common events, or do they pretty much stay separate in how they're organized and run?
Up to this point, they have been separate. I think we can always explore opportunities where we could have that connection. But again, I think part of it for girls is because we try to have a girls-only safe space, that it makes it sometimes difficult to have things that are combined. Yep. But there have been other, we'll say, community events where both the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts are involved. And so that's always wonderful.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. It's been delightful.
And if people have questions, they can either call, search out the number, or go to girlscoutsofmaine.org. And I would encourage anyone and everyone interested, if you're a grandparent or a parent listening, both Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, you know, they may seem, because they're organizations that were founded over 100 years ago, but just because they're old organizations does not mean that they're outdated principles, because for young people, it's just an important thing. And in my case, I loved my experience being a Boy Scout. And remember to use me as the beta site test for the cookie app.
So I will.
So if you need any help with the cookies coming up, and for everyone listening, if you're interested in Girl Scout cookies, and if somebody doesn't knock on your door in January and February, then go to the website. You can electronically place an order and support this great organization, right?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Great. And thank you. You're listening to Tide Smart Talk with Steve-O, News Talk WLOB, 1310 AM. We'll be right back.